Country Pop FM.
Neil, please check your text messages. According to mine, you haven't read my last one. There is an addition. Oh. We're going to have an addition.
Oh, there's an addition.
There's
okay.
an addition, okay? It is the Bob Almanac. I want to send a shout out to Roxanne from French Lake Township.
Okay.
Early this morning at 5:30, when I was lamenting the fact that we were promised 22 below, and I think it was only 17 below at that time, I was lamenting that it was a failure to communicate. It was false advertising.
Yes.
That they said it would be 22 below. It was only 17 below. But Roxanne from French Lake Township came through to us. She said her temperature was 23 below.
Nice.
French Lake Township. So thank you, Roxanne. We do.
Ask and ye shall receive.
Right. Apparently somebody at least reached that 22 below plateau. Today is the Bob Almanac. And today is it's Tuesday already, Neil. Can you believe that?
Hard to believe.
It is. February 18th, 49th day of the year. Huck Finn was published for the first time. That's Samuel Clemens. He was quite the author. And,
he really was.
He did quite well. He was Mark Twain. And some people could hear it. You couldn't hear it because it was only on one channel. That was my staff's fault. We needed to convert that into mono. We did, but it was only in one channel. And you're only getting one channel down through the internet. Wherever you're staying, obviously, they went on the cheap and they're not getting stereo internet. I mean, who doesn't get stereo these days? I mean, everything's in stereo, right? I mean,
you would think.
You would think. Yeah. So Hal Holbrook actually used to do this show where he was Mark Twain, and we heard a little clip of it.
Right.
And he was very good at that. I don't know if we know Mark Twain lived long enough to get his voice recorded. I'm sure he did, right? So we must know how he...
For sure, I would think so.
He was almost as good as the actor that portrayed Mark Twain on a very special... cliffhanger two-episode special of Star Trek The Next Generation. It was outstanding. If that wasn't Hal Holbrook playing it on Star Trek The Next Generation, I don't know who was. It was very similar. Yeah. But Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, obviously read that. I think 7th or 8th grade we read it. Then we had to make a diorama of Huck Finn. You remember that, the diorama?
I think I was sick that day.
You ever do dioramas? Do you know what a diorama is?
I don't.
It sounds like something you need Imodium for.
Yeah, it does.
Imodium?
I've got diorama. I'll be out today.
Have you needed Imodium at any time? Or are you pretty good with that?
Let's not go there.
Well, you know, they do have spicy cooking in Florida.
Yes, they do.
Okay, steer clear of that.
It's worth it. You know,
Florida man needs Imodium. But I made a diorama. It had something with Injun Joe, and you remember he was a character in there. Wasn't there a murder? And I think that's the one. That's the scene that I decided to make my diorama after.
And so I assume it's a drawing or pictures depicting part of the story?
No. You take a box. It's like a shadow box.
Okay.
You take a box, and then you put like crepe paper over it, and the light comes in as you want it. So I could make it look like it was nighttime, and you have shadows, and you may put trees in there and little bodies. And I had some of my cowboys and Indians, and probably also used maybe some of the Green Army men. And you put grass in there, you know, fake grass, and you put the construction paper for the sky, and you put a moon there, and you might even cut the moon out and put some crepe paper in there. To make it look like a moon, you need some of that white crepe paper so the light comes through and it looks like the moon. It's really quite nice. I had that for years. I was well into my 20s and I still had that thing, but I think when I moved from the farm, it ended up in the dumpster, sadly. It was a piece of art. It really was. It was a masterpiece.
Like it.
But Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, published this date, 1885. Would you call that an American classic?
I think so.
You know, you're whitewashing.
Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
You know, you're whitewashing the picket fence, the whole thing there. This was the date that the planet Pluto was discovered by Clyde W. Tombaugh. We've covered this almost ad nauseum. The Pluto, is it a planet? Is it not a planet? It's a dwarf planet, but it's not a planetoid like the other one. Remember, there was a planetoid that we talked about that they named so stupidly far, far out. Planet McPlanet Face would have been better. 1930. How about 1970? Let's hear from Dick Nixon.
Let me briefly explain what has been described as the Nixon Doctrine, a policy which not only will help end the war in Vietnam, but which is an essential element of our program to prevent future Vietnam.
If you're a president and you don't have a doctrine, Neil, are you really a president?
Probably not.
No.
Not one of note, anyway.
I'm going to steal the Nixon Doctrine. So you had Monroe had a doctrine, Truman had a doctrine. Right. William Henry Harrison would have had a doctrine had he been in office more than a month before dying.
He ran out of time.
From pneumonia, as covered earlier on the Bob Almanac. But Richard Nixon launched his Nixon Doctrine. It had to do about, getting peace in Vietnam, which eventually we did. It still didn't. It wasn't a clean ending, though.
No.
As you know.
That's why I think the Nixon Doctrine never really
took hold.
The top five.
You know, it's probably not a top five doctrine.
No.
Not at all. Doctrine. 1979. You know what movie that's from?
Yes.
Spies Like Us. Snow Falls in the Sahara Desert, 1979.
Wow.
It's rare, but it's happened since. It's happened since a few times. They have higher elevations there, Neil.
Well,
so with higher elevations, you can get some snow.
Yeah.
Even in the Sahara Desert. It might be more amazing that there's precipitation at all in the Sahara Desert. Not that it's snow, any kind of precipitation. Cats and dogs, none of that happens.
No.
1984.
He's the new kid in town, and the music's on his side.
Let's dance!
Footloose.
It was a town that didn't allow dancing, Neil. How could it be? John Lithgow said, "We can't dance here. We don't allow dancing."
Mm-hmm.
But his daughter had other ideas with that Wren fella.
Yes.
And you know,
he's a troublemaker.
Every small town should have somebody, some kid who owns an F-100 or a Chevy C-10 or a Scottsdale, not the Custom Deluxe, that has deer antlers on the hood of its truck or on the top of its cab.
Right.
Because the one guy in that movie had that. He had the antlers up there. And I think, like I said before, if you don't have a town and your town doesn't have a young man in high school who has antlers on the top of his truck, are you really in a small town? Are you really living?
No.
I'm pretty sure we did. I'm pretty sure we did in Bram. We put all kinds of things on our trucks there. So Footloose, pretty good movie, wasn't it?
I'd say it was one of the best for that time.
Yeah.
It kind of changed.
Oh, and the soundtrack.
Yes.
Shalimar dancing in the sheets.
It's good. There's a lot of good music out there.
We had Almost Paradise, obviously. Footloose.
Made a big star out of Kevin Bacon, didn't it?
He sure did.
Yeah.
He's American treasure now.
Yeah.
1984. 1998, we lost a legend.
You know, a lot of people think I have the best seat in the house. No way. The best seat in the house is right here. Cheering on the Cubs with the greatest fans in the world and the greatest beer in the world, Budweiser. Yeah, nothing quenches a Cub fan's thirst for victory quite like the King of Beer.
The one and only Harry Carey. Here comes another one. Was he talking about a baseball or a beer? What was coming?
I think it was a beer.
Yeah, exactly. So Harry Carey died. He was 77. He was a real character.
He definitely was. And not afraid to have a few Budweisers during the course of the game.
No, not at all. Those old-time baseball broadcasters always had a nip.
Yeah.
Just like Harry Doyle. He had the bottle right there. Remember that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Harry Carey dead, the age of 77. 2001, tragedy at the racetrack.
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident in turn four at the end of the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
And that was at the very end of the race,
yes,
if I recall correctly.
Yes,
and
it
you
was.
Know, as not a big race fan, you look at that crash. You just kind of went into the sidewall there,
sidewall.
And it didn't seem that severe. I mean, you see more severe crashes where they're rolling and tumbling and all this other spinning and tumbling and rolling and flying. And this was one where it just hit just right. And Dale Earnhardt died at the age of 49.
It was a neck injury.
Yes.
Right?
Yep, and they redid
so
the
now
harnesses
created,
and everything. Yeah,
yeah, the new harness construction, you know, that kind of prevents this from happening. And sadly, it took a loss of life for them to come up with that.
Right. We lost Johnny Paycheck on this date. He was 64 in 2003. What's your favorite Johnny Paycheck song? I just played one yesterday.
The Only Hell My Mama Raised.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm the Only Hell That Mama Ever Raised. That's a good one. I played one the other. Slide Off Your Satin Sheets.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Is pretty darn good. And Mr. Lovemaker. Played that one yesterday on the All Request Lunch. I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. Mr.
Take This Job just got overplayed for me, you know.
Well, that one. Yeah. Well, that was a phenomenon.
Yes, it really was.
It really was. We need the birthdays now. When it comes to singing, this is not a phenomenon, Neil. Wait for it. You're going to get the payback here. Here comes the payoff. The payoff. Or is it payback? I don't know. Is it payback for every bad thing we've ever said about her? That's not singing, folks. That's Yoko Ono.
That is ear-bleedingly bad.
Yeah. John Lennon, you wonder why, you know, he accepted that and said, well, that's good. We can put that over the speakers and on a record. And you only have to think for a little bit to know why he allowed that, because it was his wife.
Yes.
Happy wife, happy life, right? Let her do what she wants to do.
Very simple.
She's 92.
Wow.
Yoko Ono. So she was a bit older than John Lennon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because he was born 1940. So she was 7 years older than John Lennon. Yoko Ono Lennon.
Been widowed what?
1980,
years.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Dennis DeYoung's on our list today.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling. Give me, whoa, your love.
This is probably my favorite Styx song, and it was like their first hit.
Your hands build me up when I'm sinking.
So good. Can you hear the finger cymbals?
Touch me and my
right there. Those are finger cymbals. They have to be.
Wow.
They borrowed them from some belly dancer.
Lady, from the
so that's Dennis DeYoung, 78. They went their separate ways because he kind of wanted to do ballads and kind of concept albums. The other guys, Tommy Shaw and J.Y., wanted to do just rock, correct?
Right, yeah. Yes.
Dennis DeYoung from Styx, 78 today.
My name is David Addison, and your name
Maddie
is...
Maddie
Hayes, and don't I know you?
No, I don't think we've met.
You know what's really amazing?
So that's Cybill Shepherd. Along with you know, his voice was much higher, kind of nasally when he was on Moonlighting. Talking about Bruce Willis.
Sure.
Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis, they were great on Moonlighting.
That show. Yes, yeah. They were very good, I thought.
Then she had her own show called Cybill, and she did some other things, but I remember getting her start there on Moonlighting. And Cybill Shepherd, 75.
And I am never.
Again, not Yoko Ono here. Newton. Real name Judy. Judy. Boy, that album, her first album, Juice, that had 9 to 5 on it, and this one, Angel of the Morning, good grief.
Very talented lady.
Loved
we like her a lot.
Loved it as a kid.
Me too. Great.
73 for Juice Newton. Happy birthday, Juice Newton, 73 here today.
Why don't you look on the bright side of things? Gives you Saturday night free to stay home and catch up on your homework.
Stop, don't you realize if I don't go out Saturday night, how boring my confession's gonna be? Father O'Malley looks forward to seeing me all week long.
Vinny Barbarino. What was his catchphrase, Neil? Do you remember it?
I don't. I should.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yes.
John Travolta. He got his start.
Sweat hogs.
Yeah, he's one of the sweat hogs. Got his start on Mr. Kate.
Yes.
And then he went on to, well, some pretty big films. You might remember Saturday Night Fever. Then
that
he did Grease.
Yeah.
John Travolta. That commercial they run where he's like the dancing Santa.
Santa. It's good.
It is good.
Yes.
71 here today for the one and only John Travolta.
Welcome her. Please do that for Vanna White. Vanna!
Vanna White on Wheel of Fortune for the first time. Spinning her way onto stage. Gosh, when was this? This had to be early 80s, right?
Do we know how to pick a hostess, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. I am very excited and happy to be part of Wheel of Fortune.
That's right. And this is a family you will soon grow to know and love, except for a couple of the uncles we won't talk about.
That funny Pat Sajak. I don't know about those uncles.
Oh, card.
Yeah. So, Vanna White. Is she still on the show? I don't keep up with Wheel of Fortunes like I used to.
I think so.
Vanna White.
I think so, yeah.
Is 68 here today. Matt Dillon.
No. I'm going to go hunt some action. Little kids are allowed.
Man, we'll go with you. Yeah. Won't we, Pony?
I don't know, Dell. Hey, who's looking for police trouble, man? I just want to go see a movie like the good old days. Right, Johnny?
Yeah, man.
Hey, you got your guy. You got Johnny. You got Pony Boy. And, of course, you got Dallas. Neil, that's from The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon, S.E. Hinton books, The Outsiders. And what was the other one? The sequel was Every Which Way But Loose. No, it was
The Insiders.
No, it was The Insiders. The Inside.
I did read The Outsiders.
The Inside Outsiders.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I got to. That was Then, This Is Now.
Oh, yeah.
That was the sequel book. that's Matt Dillon, 61, here today. How about Dr. Dre? He's our rapper of the day, 60. He made a lot of
that's
money.
That's old for a rapper.
It is, yeah. Most rappers don't make it to 60. Sadly, really.
Right.
He came up with his own line of headphones, Beats. Remember Beats. By Dre?
Mm.
He sold that to Apple or somebody, made a lot of money.
Okay.
Dr. Dre. Not Dr. Drew, that's a whole different kind of doctor. Dr. Dre is 60.
Nope. I look exactly the same as I have since summer. Utterly forgettable. No, I didn't expect to wake up transformed. I just thought that turning 16 would be so major that I'd wake up with an improved mental state that would show on my face.
She is blowing out 16 candles. It's the fiery redhead Molly Ringwald, Neil.
Yep.
57.
Breakfast Club, I remember. Yep,
Breakfast Club, 16 candles, Pretty in Pink. One of those John Hughes movies. Molly Ringwald today, 57. That's
gone,
it. That's
but
cue.
Not forgotten. By the way, thank you, Lance, over at Exquisite Stone. It's the Hans device that they created after Dale Earnhardt went into the sidewall. I would have never come up with that. I just when I talk Hans device, I thought it was something from
Hans,
Die Hard.
Or Hans and Franz.
Yippee-ki-yay,
Hans.
Yes, exactly. Gone, but not forgotten today.
Hans, you are.
We have legendary Notre Dame running back George Gipp was born on this day, 1895. Of course, he died it just a couple of weeks after being named an All-American. He had contracted strep throat and then pneumonia, and his dying wish, as he told Newt Rockne, is some game
Rock, someday when the team's up against it, the breaks are beating the boys. Ask them to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Kipper. I don't know where I'll be then.
I had to cut you off because you were basically
I forgot that we had the Kipper.
That was
the
text
that
I sent you.
Yes. Was that Ronald Reagan?
Well, yes it is. There you go again.
The Kipper. We're winning one for the Kipper, and he was born on this day in 1895. Game show host, I remember him well, the bespectacled Bill Cullen, born on this day, 1920.
And here's the star of Blockbusters, Bill Cullen! Hi there, team.
Big hand for Bill Cullen.
Legendary. Wow. How many different game shows did he host?
The Blockbusters. You know what Blockbusters is? It's where a solo player competes against a family pair to see whether two heads are really better than one. And so far,
I like Blockbusters. I used to watch that back in the day, Blockbusters. And I don't think there was a game show he didn't host. He would always fill in. He'd be a fill-in on Pyramid, Match Game. He did Price is Right when it was before Bob Barker in the in the 60s. He was everywhere. He was a major guy.
Joker's Wild, I think, after Jack Barry.
Sure did.
Yeah, so 1920 for the great Bill Cullen. 1922, Cosmo founder Helen Gurley Brown, Cosmopolitan, the magazine. I think that worked out pretty well for her, as I do recall.
Is that compared to Helen Manley Brown, Neil?
Well,
is that a dad joke, or is that just great improvisation?
We'll leave that up to the listeners.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Academy Award-winning actor. He played the bad guy in several episodes of Gunsmoke. Of course, Cool Hand Luke. We loved him in Naked Gun and Airport movies. George Kennedy, 1925.
Don't you worry, Wilma. Your husband is going to be all right. Don't you worry about anything. Just think positive. Never let a doubt enter your mind.
He's right, Wilma. But I wouldn't wait until the last minute to fill out those organ donor cards.
A Leslie Nielsen cameo,
which we are never afraid to do, nor should we. 1925 for the fine Academy Award-winning actor George Kennedy. Drummer Keith Knutson of the Doobie Brothers. Of course, not only the Doobies, he's an Iowa kid, by the way.
Yes.
Died very young, in his mid-50s, sadly. But he also was a founding member, along with Stu Cook and some others, for Southern Pacific.
Yeah, there's another guy from the Doobies, right?
Yes, right. And then Stu Cook also, I think, spent some time with Creedence.
CCR, that's where he came from, right?
Yeah, for sure, yes. Yeah, so that's good stuff from Keith Knutson. Sadly, he was like 56 when he passed away, 1948. And one more drummer. Why not? Drummer Robbie Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive. Or probably Bachman. That's the way I think they pronounce it.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's Fred Turner, but that's him on the drums.
Very nice. And he was born on this day, Robbie Bachman, 1953. Sadly, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Your staff forgot Sam the Butcher.
What do you want?
It's what Sam wants. A new delivery boy.
Really? You do?
After school and all day Saturday, $1.50 an hour.
Hey, wow, that's great.
What about fringe benefits?
Fringe benefits? Who cares about fringe benefits?
You're hired. See you tomorrow at 4 sharp with your bike.
Out of sight. I think.
Hey, you know what? Sam the Butcher, he was a slave driver.
He
offered no fringe benefits. There was no health care. You got no breaks. You know, anything. You didn't get any free meat. You couldn't grab a piece of jerky. And then the other thing is he ran a very unsafe butcher shop because he didn't have a release button on the inside of his big cooler. Don't you remember the time when Bobby and Greg got locked in there? He had to break the window, and Bobby had to risk lacerating his liver on a shard of glass to go save Greg. Otherwise, Greg was going to be, you know, a side of beef hanging from a hook.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever did fix that door. At the end of the episode, he promised, but I bet you he never did fix that door and put a release latch on the inside. But the man could cut a ribeye, though. I mean,
well,
I guess
when we all really have comes, a skill set.
And when it comes down to that, does anything really matter, fringe benefits or not? No.
At that point.
That's the actor Alan Melvin, who was on Brady Bunch, All in the Family. He was on the Andy Griffith Show. He'd show up.
He was in a lot of bad shows.
Guy yeah.
In, I think
yeah.
In one of the episodes.
Alan Melvin.
So there you go.
Yeah, 1923.
Now they're all gone.
Sure they are.
Forgotten.
Who's Your Daddy? Toby Keith. George Strait. You Know Me Better Than That. Or Josh Turner, Your Man.
Josh Turner today.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLC.